Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. This is Pat Iyer, and I have with me today Lisa McDaniel Brown. She's a speaker and a holistic health coach, and she works with people to teach them how to achieve their health goals. We know about health goals as legal nurse consultants. We know about weight loss and sugar addiction and feeding your family. And I thought it would be great to bring Lisa on today to talk about those challenging areas for many of us. Lisa's father was a physician for over 50 years, and he specialized in weight control and longevity and lived to the age of 101. And he nurtured Lisa's interest and passion in health and well-being through the examples and the discussions that he, I'm sure, had around the dinner table. Before health coaching and speaking, Lisa used her degree in communications as a radio broadcaster. She's been a PR and marketing professional, an event planner, and a nonprofit fundraiser. And currently, she's focusing on her latest keynote presentation, which is called The Truth, Have Some. She discusses honesty and being honest about what's happening in your health and well-being and your life and your business. Lisa and I met earlier this month. She joined a National Speakers Association local lunch that we were having in Bonita Springs, Florida. Just happened to be at a Toastmasters meeting and then got invited to our National Speakers lunch. And as soon as I talked to Lisa, I realized that she had a lot to share with my audience. So I'm so pleased that we could get this scheduled, Lisa, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Pat. I greatly appreciate this opportunity to talk with you today and talk to your listening audience. And I'm so glad that we met so faithfully that day after a Toastmasters meeting. That was one of the best days I'd had in a long time. I was obviously in the right place at the right time. So it's lovely to be here. Thank you.
Excellent. I know that we've talked in my introduction of you that you're focused in on health goals. Let's talk about why that's so important for our listeners who are legal nurse consultants, maybe working in a law practice, maybe running their own business. Why should they focus on health goals?
Well, I think they need to focus on health goals because of the way we all have chosen to live our lives these days and the way that society has developed in the last couple of decades. We're all so incredibly busy these days. And life has changed dramatically since the invention of the internet, which is allowing you and me to speak today, which is so interesting. But because of cell phones and laptops and computers and modern technology, life is hurtling forward at an unprecedented speed. And we're not used to this. So we're all multitasking. As women, in particular, we have so much responsibility between family and children, our career, parents, and you name it. And then you throw in your health and well-being. And quite often, for those of us that are so incredibly busy, our health and our well-being are absolutely not at the top of our priority list. It's down at the bottom. And that's why there is now a whole career opening up for health coaches, because that's what we do. We sit down with people and we help them prioritize in their life. And quite often that means telling them it's okay to take care of yourself. It's almost like we need to give people permission these days to put themselves at the top of the list, or at least number two, because you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of everyone else and everything else in your life. And there's so much fast food. There's so much bad food out there for you. There's so much sugar. There's so many drinks out there. They're just loaded with chemicals and sugar and things that we don't need. And those are the foods that we often grab when we're on the go. So health these days almost has to be absolutely intentional. You have to make it a priority. You have to think about it. You have to put some time into it. And once you do that, though, it can become a part of your life. And that's what a health coach does, is helps you reprioritize so that your health is not at the bottom of the list. It's at the top. And then it gets easier and easier.
And then in putting this in context for small business owners, we talked about overall focus on health. Why is it even more important for small business owners?
This is incredibly important for small business owners because, you know, I used to own my own business making wedding cakes way back in the 90s. And with that kind of business, when you're a brick and mortar kind of business, if you're not working, then your business isn't working. So your health has to be a priority because you can't take a sick day, right? Small business owners these days quite often are online. So sometimes when they are sleeping or resting or taking care of themselves, their business is working. But you're still responsible. You're still the boss. If you are the owner, it starts with you. And nobody has time to be sick these days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So prioritizing your health and making your well-being number one is a must, and it's okay.
I wanted to focus specifically on the weight control, and I know that in your background, growing up with a physician father who specialized in weight control and longevity, that this is a subject that you must have had many discussions on. We know that Americans are becoming larger. I've gone into furniture stores with my son. We're both fairly small people, and we've sat in chairs, the two of us, side by side, filled the chair, which was meant for one person. Mm-hmm. We know that in healthcare, there's a whole specialty of bariatric medicine and bariatric stretchers and bariatric services. Mm-hmm. What's going on? Why is it so difficult for Americans to control their weight?
And you know what? The answer to that is pretty darn simple. Our food has changed radically. And our grocery stores have changed, and our lifestyles have changed. And we're all sedentary. We all like to sit in front of laptops and computers all day long to get our work done. That's become our job. And when you shop at the grocery store, my father always said, if you shop around the perimeter of the grocery store, you're going to be just fine, because that's where you're going to find your fruits and your vegetables and your lean meats and fish and seafood. It's when you go up and down the aisles of the grocery store that you're going to get in trouble, because there is so much processed and packaged food in our culture, let alone fast food. When you go out to eat, our portion size has just grown and doubled and tripled. And we've all, I'm sure that you being a small woman, I'm sure you've been served a plate of food in a restaurant and thought, my gosh, I can eat this for three meals as opposed to just one. So it's the content of our food that matters. It's the size of our food portions. It's the sugar. It's the chemicals. It's the fast food. And it's the way we're all living our lives these days. We're overscheduled. We're rushing around, getting our kids places. You know, holidays come and go, and there's always those priorities. So, and let alone work. Work, you know, most families these days, if there's a two-person head of household, they're both working full-time most of the time. And that leaves very little time for proper grocery store shopping or planning for meals or making your health and well-being a priority. And especially in the nursing world, my gosh, the obesity rates among nurses, in preparing for this interview, I was reading it's up to 55% in some places. And obesity overall in the United States, and we're talking obesity, not just being overweight, being body mass index being 30 or higher. And that's one third of all adults, and it's almost 20% of all teenagers in this country. So I always like to say, if you look back to 100 years ago, 150 years ago, what were people eating? they were growing their food, and they were eating food that was sourced locally that they grew or their neighbors grew. They were eating animals that were growing behind their home or in the field next to them. And it was a very, very different time. And that was long before obesity rates skyrocketed in this country, which really happened after the 50s and the 60s when our food started to change. And it was all about convenience.
So we have listeners who recognize the need to change their eating habits, perhaps are interested in losing weight. Mm-hmm. What tips can you share with us about what they can do?
Sure. I would start with, I was trained at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, which trains exclusively health coaches. And they talk about bioindividuality. And bioindividuality means that what works for me is not necessarily going to work for you. You have to figure out what your best diet is and what works for your body. So you have to listen to your body. So all these people that run around and say veganism is the way to go, or you got to be a vegetarian, or you got to stay away from food, while on the other side of the aisle, people are like, paleo is the best. So is Whole30, which is based on consuming proteins and meats. You know, they're right for what's working for them. So I always talk to my clients about, what do you crave? What do you like to eat? What works for your body? If you sit down and listen, what kind of food really works for you? So that's bioindividuality. But we also talk about primary foods and secondary foods. And primary food is not what you would think. Secondary food is the food that you put on your plate. That's the food that you eat. That's the food that, you know, that we consume. Fruits, proteins, vegetables, on and on, carbohydrates, fats. But primary food is so much more than that. There is so much more that goes on into your life that truly affects what you put in your body and what you put in your mouth. And your primary food is basically your career, exercise, relationships, and spirituality. And those are the things that I think people really need to look at before they spend too much time on just what do I want to eat and what am I putting over here? And that's what being a holistic health coach is all about. You're looking at mind, body, and spirit. So we look at a bigger picture. You want to look at what's right in your life and what's not quite right and what you should be working on, as opposed to what should be on the plate in front of me, because that can get really overwhelming. But when you're working with a health coach, we take a look at do you like your job? Are you where you're supposed to be? Is something holding you back there? Do you have a spirituality practice? Do you need one in your life? Did you used to have one and you got away from it? Same thing with exercise. Do you have any kind of exercise in your life? And when I talk about honesty and truth, exercise is a big part of that, because people think, yeah, I walk a lot, I get around a lot, and sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking we're active when you're really not. You know, we're sedentary. So do you have an exercise practice? Do you used to have one that you got away from? Do you need to get back to it? And then what's going on in your relationships? Are you in a happy marriage? Are you dating somebody who fills you up as opposed to drains you? Do you have a partner that brings out the best in you? Do you bring out the best in your partner? How are you around your kids? So it's so much more than food. It's a little of everything. I talk to my clients about their entire life. And for most of them, that's a new approach to food and to what you eat. But it's looking at the whole picture and not just what goes in your mouth.
Well, certainly that's an important perspective, because the whole picture does influence what goes into your mouth.
Mm-hmm. It does. And a lot of people aren't prepared to look at that when they're thinking of starting a quote unquote a new diet. I don't really like to use the word diet because it implies something temporary. I like to say eating plan, because you have to plan on what you're eating in order for you to really feed your body. Because the question most of the time is, are you feeding your taste buds? Are you feeding your cravings? Are you stuffing down your emotions? Or are you giving your body fuel? I know a lot of people, especially men, can identify with this analogy. You know, you buy yourself a really nice car, you get successful, and you get yourself a top-of-the-line car that you've worked very hard for. you have to put premium gasoline in that car to keep it running. And most people would never even consider putting regular gas in that. But the same thing is true of our body. You've been given one body. It is a gift. It is full of things that you have to keep healthy. So why would you put garbage fuel inside of your body? And it's pretty simple. I tend to have the same conversations over and over again with clients. And it's mainly talking about adding vegetables back into your world. It's so easy to get away from vegetables, but vegetables are the primary fuel, along with some fruits and lean meats and proteins. It's not that hard to figure out. And water. We haven't gotten to the discussion on water yet, but I'm sure we'll get there. If you just simplify things and you go back to the way things used to be, you just eat real food and stay away from the processed stuff and stay away from the sugar.
Before we continue with the show, I want to ask you as a listener a few questions. Do you struggle with getting fit? Does the bag of chocolate in the cabinet call to you? Does the ice cream in your freezer speak your name? Would you rather eat an Oreo than a carrot? Does the idea of going to the gym for getting fit seem less interesting than watching a movie? If you answer yes to these questions, you are singing my song. I interviewed Mike Schatzky to talk with him about how he, as a middle-aged, overweight male, was able to get into shape. His story may surprise you. I think it will inspire you. The program is called Couch Potatoes, Secrets of Getting Fit. We have the audio recording and transcript for you at lnc.tips/couch. That website again is http://lnc.tips/couch. And as always, we offer you a 25% discount if you use the code LISTENED in the coupon box during checkout. Well, let's talk about sugar. There is a term called sugar addiction. What does that really mean?
Sure. When I first became a health coach, I realized I was a sugar addict, and I didn't really know that. I knew I loved sugar. I loved sweets. So did my dad. I thought I got that from him. I know it runs in my family. There are certain members of my family that couldn't care less about sweets. And then there's the rest of us where we're like, hey, where's the cookies and ice cream? Because dinner's over, right? Mm-hmm. So I had kind of a life-changing experience when I was at a conference back in 2012. I saw a woman speak named Julia Ross, and she's a psychotherapist who has specialized in addictions, all kinds of addictions, for about 40 years. And her presentation that day was called Sugar Addiction, Confronting the Greatest Nutritional Crisis of All Time. Now, that kind of stopped me in my tracks when you hear a title like that, because I don't think mainstream media or in the mainstream anywhere, sugar is being talked about as the greatest nutritional crisis of all time. But she had my attention because I knew sugar was on my plate every day. And I had a really tough time getting it out of my life sometimes. So she had my attention. And she noted that sugar is 4 times more addictive than cocaine, and it's more toxic than alcohol and tobacco.
Whoa. Really?
Have you ever heard that before, Pat? Yeah. And in my world as a health coach, I do hear it, but you're not hearing it in mainstream media. And and you as a nurse, I'm not surprised to hear that you haven't heard this, but it still surprises me that because it's such a big part of my world, because sugar is just everywhere. But also in my world, I'm hypoglycemic. So I've got to be really careful with sugar. If I eat too much of it, I crash and burn. And then I get the shakes and I get the sweats and I get a bad attitude. And I think I'm fine, but I'm spewing badness out of my mouth when, you know, we've all heard the term hangry as opposed to hungry. And that's what that is. So I knew sugar was having an extremely unfortunate effect on my body. And that was because it was the highs and the lows. And I knew I had to get it out of my life. And I battle with it almost every day. I know when I get sugar out of my system after 3 or 4 days, I don't crave it. But I know for most people, the idea of giving up sugar completely is foreign. That's a concept they cannot wrap their brain around. But that's just like any other addiction. If you're addicted to drugs, if you're addicted to alcohol, it's best if you step away from it completely and you get it out of your environment. And as a sugar addict, I found that I do best when I have sugar completely out of my environment. And that's kind of tough to do when my husband is not a sugar addict. He's the kind of guy who can open a bag of cookies and eat three or four and put the bag back in the cabinet. But in my mind, I know those cookies are still there, you know, and I think about them and I think about them. And the same thing with ice cream or with cakes. I am hyper aware of where those things are in my house. And intellectually, I know I shouldn't be eating them, that nutritionally, they do nothing for me. As a matter of fact, they do quite a bit of harm to my body when I consume them, but I still love them and they still taste great. And sometimes I do like the effect on my body. I do need a pick me up. Sometimes I feel myself getting low, or I know I'm going to go into something where I want some energy, and sugar is a great thing to stuff in your mouth. But then I also know 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, I'm going to have a crash. So that's what we're all dealing with in this country. And there are plenty of people who are addicted to sugar who might not know it. A lot of people just don't know there is a sugar addiction. It is, in my world, a real thing. It is very real. And going back to bioindividuality, it is up to you, the individual, to decide if you have a problem with sugar. Some people do, some people don't. I think most people in this country have an addiction to something, and a lot of people have an addiction to sugar. They just don't know it. They think, I want to eat this food all the time and I don't know why I can't give it up. Well, there is a reason. There's all kinds of additives in our foods these days, in processed, packaged, or fast food, that get us addicted. They get our bodies very much in tune to wanting those foods over and over and over again. And it's once we realize that we do better physically, mentally, and emotionally, and spiritually when we don't have those additives and those foods in our lives, that we can take a step back and say, okay, I need to make a better plan. I need to have a plan so that those foods and those ingredients aren't in my life. And I got to tell you, almost all the health coaching clients I work with have a sugar addiction, but that's also kind of my specialty. So, we have that in common, and I know how to help them work through the process so that they can make better choices and get away from those sugary foods. And I have all kinds of suggestions on how to do that. Would you like to hear those?
Well, let me just clarify a couple of things before you share those.
Sure.
One of them,
absolutely.
When you talk about sugar, are you also including fruits that have different types of sugar as opposed to the ones that are in processed foods?
No, I'm really not talking about fruits. The sugar in fruits naturally occur, and if you're eating a piece of fruit, you're also getting the fiber and all the other good things that come with it. So when I'm talking about sugar, I'm talking about modern day refined white crystallized sugar or high fructose corn syrup or any of the man-made created sugary additives that end up in our foods. So I'm talking about white crystallized sugar mostly.
Okay. And then another question or another point that I've become aware of in learning more about diabetes, which my husband has, and I have pre-diabetes, becoming aware of the fact that there are foods with high glycemic indexes, such as rice and potatoes and bread, that transform into sugar in your body, and you don't ordinarily think that when you're looking at a potato or a dish of rice that that is a sugar-creating food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pat, that's a great point that you make. The glycemic index is basically a ranking of carbohydrates on a scale of 0 to 100, and that scale is basically measuring the extent to which foods raise the blood sugar levels and how quickly that happens. So yeah, a lot of people are real surprised that corn and rice and potatoes are pretty high in the glycemic index. They convert into sugar once they're inside of our bodies. So when I'm talking to my clients, I tell them, yeah, it's best to stay away from those. If you can, avoid them as much as possible while you're trying to clean the sugar out of your system. So you can go online, you can look up the glycemic index, and boy, I tell people to do this a lot. Do your own research. Don't just sit here and listen to me or listen to all the experts that are out there that tell you over and over again what you need to do. That phrase kind of drives me crazy when experts start with, what you need to do is this. I'm back to bio-individuality. What you need to do is what is right for you. So if you are pre-diabetic or you're diabetic, hopefully you've been told that there is such a thing as the glycemic index. And you can go online and look it up and figure it out. It'll take you 2 minutes. And there are several sites that will explain what it is and that will give you a very clear list of high glycemic foods, foods that will raise your blood sugar quickly that you might want to avoid, and then the low glycemic foods that you can eat and that are much better for you. Fruit, by the way, for the low glycemic foods, we're talking about apples and strawberries and peaches and pears. On the vegetable side, low glycemic vegetables, asparagus, broccoli, artichokes, Brussels sprouts, and those might be foreign foods to you, especially if you're living a fast-paced life and you're used to eating fast food. But those are the foods that your body's going to really probably like a lot, and that's fuel. That is fuel for your body. So glycemic index, take a look online and find out what's high, find out what's low, find out what's in the middle. Do your own research.
And let's conclude by talking a little bit about how you kick that sugar habit.
Sure. I have several suggestions for you. The first thing being obvious, clear the sugar out of your house. Read labels. That is probably the number one thing I tell my clients constantly. If you pick up a food that has a label on it, read the ingredients. Read the ingredients. Read the ingredients. If you remember anything I've said today, please remember when you're in the grocery store, when you're in your own home, turn the box to the side, turn it around, read the ingredients. Sugar is hidden in a lot of different things, and it's usually words that end in O-S-E, like sucrose, glucose, O-S-E. That's how they hide sugars in there. But get the sugar out of your house. Clear it out of the cabinets. If it's not around you, you can't eat it. At work, that means don't have a big thing of chocolate sitting on the edge of your desk. I don't know how many coworkers I've had that have M&Ms or little candies all year long. Get that stuff away from you. Get it out of your car. Also, avoid processed junk food. And you're going to want to drink plenty of water. Drink plenty of water to clean your system out. Eat more vegetables and eat more protein. Eating protein is really a good thing to do. Even if you're vegan, even if you're vegetarian, you don't have to eat meat. You can get protein from beans, legumes, even from vegetables, spinach. You can get protein lots of other places. So eating protein and eating foods that will fuel your body and keep your glycemic index from spiking, that's going to keep you in a happy place. As opposed to sugar, which brings your glycemic index and your blood sugar up and down and up and down. And also get support. Find a health coach. Find a buddy and go through this process together. Stopping sugar and changing the way you look at food is a process. It's not a 1 week I'm doing this and then I go back to what I used to do. It's a plan, and hopefully it's a lifelong plan, and you will adjust it as you have life changes.
Tell us, how can our readers find out more about you?
Sure. I have a website. It's pretty simple to find me. It's lisabrownpresents.com. You can find me there. I am available for speaking engagements, and that's primarily what I'm focusing on these days. I am starting a book as well, and I am limiting the number of people I work with individually since my husband and I are empty nesters now and we're traveling a little bit more. So I am focusing on my speaking engagements, and you can find me at lisabrownpresents.com.
Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate you being on the show. You have inspired me. I have a big bag of chocolate in my cabinet that you use to melt and then dip in strawberries, but I've decided that it's going to be thrown as soon as this call is over, because it's been sitting there and calling me.
And excellent.
It needs to be silenced.
If it's not around, then you can't eat it.
That's right.
Good. I'm glad that you had a good takeaway from this. I hope a few other people do too.
And thank you to our listeners. I encourage you, as a result of listening to this podcast, to go in and look at your cabinets, read the labels, particularly look at if you've got yogurt in your refrigerator. That's a food substance that has a great deal of sugar in it, and you should purchase wisely, looking for the brands that have the lowest sugar. Look at your cereals to see how much sugar is in those, the breakfast bars, the snack bars, and take a hard look at what you're putting in your mouth and how that affects your health. Please stay tuned for our next interview, which will be a week from now, and we love it when our listeners give us reviews on iTunes and give us feedback about the show. This has been Pat Iyer and Lisa Brown with Legal Nurse Podcast. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on LegalNurseBusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month Clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.